mentioned. I since then have received a couple emails. I do know that it is bank. It's owned by First National Bank, which used to be Castle Bank, now First National Bank of Omaha. They do own it. It is a building that's about 14,700 square feet. It's on 2.5 acres, got parking spaces. It would be a great church. It would be a great building. I say that looking from the outside. I say that in faith. I haven't been on the inside yet. But I say that in faith and not only the building itself, but faith in the ability of the men in the church, if that were to happen, for us to be able to do any work necessary. Their listing price is $625,000. Yeah. But as I was thinking earlier, what's that to him who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills? And so we'll just continue to speak faith and believe, and we serve an all-powerful God. Amen. He's able. We're going to have a little fun tonight, make it a little interesting. I'm going to get this podium out of the way, if you will, set it over to the side, because we're going to talk a little bit more. Those of you that have been a part of the studies recent weeks, we've talked about the title of the study was Need for Nehemias. Essentially, the study went in depth in the book of Nehemiah, talking about not only the man Nehemiah, the resistance that Nehemiah faced, the building of the walls, construction of the walls, the gates, many a times what those gates referenced, what those gates meant, the walls themselves. And during the course of the study, we talked many times in reference to building walls and gates, and how that it's essential in our lives, building the kingdom of God, that walls and gates are constructed. We talk about what those walls and gates represented, the progression in one's walk and relationship with God, how we visit those gates many times. But as often is the case, we talk about things, we express the need for those things, we find application for those things, we find spiritual parallels. But then sometimes the practicality of putting it into practice, of actually doing that, of actually in our walk and relationship with God, constructing appropriate walls, appropriate gates in our lives. And as we, I would say this, as we progress and as we grow and as we mature in the things of God, we find a deeper meaning, if you will. We find greater understanding in the reasons why. Initially, when we look at something on the surface, we may not understand why that's there. We may not understand why God would say, do this. Especially if you go in the Old Testament, you look at the Levitical law. Everybody knows the book of Leviticus is just stellar reading. It's where a lot of people get tripped up in their attempt to read through the Bible. Leviticus has that tendency to be somewhat laborious. It's going over all the sacrifices. It's talking about Levitical law. It's talking about responses. But in reality, if you understand the spirit of Leviticus, if you understand the reason why God would require these things or put these stipulations upon a people, remember, it is at the end of the book of Exodus, the people have come out of Egypt, and God is making a people. He is establishing a people. He is causing a people to be separate from the rest of the world. And so he's telling them to construct these walls and gates in their lives. And though some of them, even today, as we look at them, we read them, we're like, wow, that's, man, the Lord was really, I mean, he was really focusing in on some things. And it seems in our mind and in our logic and our understanding, there was high penalty for some minor things and a relatively low penalty for some major things. And so in our logic and in our understanding, we really struggle to find the reasoning. Okay? Now, it's really not much different when someone from the outside starts to become exposed to the things of God. When they come out from a world of darkness and where there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of things in their lives, and they come into the house of God, they come into the things of God, sometimes initially there's that, well, I don't understand why this is that and this is, and you do this and so on and so forth. And so we, as I always say, we have to be patient with the process and understand things take time to build. Appropriate walls and gates in someone's life, they don't spring up overnight. There is a process. There is a time. But there's always a reason. If you look at the Levitical law, you will understand that the Lord is really dealing with three main themes. He's really talking about our response to our brother, our response to individuals one-on-one, our response to God, and taking care of our temple. That's really, if you boil them all down and you look at them, those are really the three main areas that Levitical law is dealing with. Our own cleanliness, and not to spread the disease, because then that disease would affect others. And so there were certain stipulations. There was certain dietary laws to help the body, help the temple. And so all of these things had relevance and had meaning. Well, come over to the New Testament. And as New Testament believers, we would be in error if we think, because Jesus fulfilled the law, that the law doesn't have implications in our life, because it most certainly does. It's just the way the law is applied is different. The Lord said, I will write the law in their hearts and in their minds. So now it's not fulfilled by the letter, in the letter of the law, but it's fulfilled in the spirit of the law, or the understanding of the principles and precepts. And I know I've touched on this before. I understand there are things that are taught and have been taught, and I understand the spirit behind that. I understand the origin of that thing, if you will. But when we come now to today and we talk about how do we, in this day and age, how do we construct proper walls, and how do we build proper gates today in our lives? You say, well, it's the same. Well, in some cases, yes. In other cases, no. As times have changed, and for instance, I've said this before, I'll say it again. This is just one for instance. My grandfather, when he first got into the things of God and first started serving God, and I there's no fault in this at all, but my grandfather was an individual who would not, he had three boys of his own, and he did not allow his boys to become involved in any organized sports whatsoever. Just wouldn't do it. That was how he felt to lead his family. Now, when my dad, in reference to me, my dad didn't hold that same conviction, if you will. My dad allowed me to play organized ball. I played baseball for 9 years. Enjoyed it. Now, my dad always made it known that baseball would never supersede church. If there was ever a conflict, it wasn't a question. I knew not even to go ask and say, Dad, can I go to practice? They had to change. Can I go to practice? Dad, no. You know, you go to church. And so what I'm trying to say is that as things happen and as time goes on, there were a lot of old-timers that would never go into an establishment that served alcohol. Now try to go eat somewhere that doesn't serve it. Folks, I was at Chuck E. Cheese. I was at Chuck E. Cheese. And guess what? They serve alcohol. Now, we shake our... What I'm trying to say is that as time has progressed, and yes, there are still walls and there's still gates that need to be built, but yes, some of that changes in relation to our day. Follow what I'm saying? And so when I'm talking tonight, I'm going to be speaking in a very literal sense, and we're going to be using some application and some object lesson, but the reality of the construction, or the process, if you will, of building, constructing walls and gates in our lives, it's still the same. Process. Now, question. And ladies, feel free to answer. I know we're going to be talking along the lines of construction, but that's okay. Feel free to answer. When it comes to constructing or building something, what is the first thing one should have? Raise your hand, I'll call on you. Sister Christy. A blueprint. Okay, a foundation. Money. Financing. Got to have some way to pay for it. Okay, let's, for the sake of argument, let's say we have the finances. We have the financial means to build. Now, to address the foundation, how do we know what size foundation to build? How do we know what size foundation to build? Ah, see. You start out with a plan. If any of us are going to, and do it correctly in the right way, we're going to go build a home. Now, back in the frontier days, you just cut down a couple trees and, you know, you build it where you wanted to build it. Nowadays, you have to go through the process, and that process is you have to go to the county, city, whatever municipality or organization regulates that industry, and you must submit a plan. You must come and say, this is the home that I would like to build. If I decide that I'm going to build a retaining wall, then I should go to the city of Sandwich, call them up, say, hey, I'm going to build a retaining wall on this property. What are the stipulations? What do I have to do? Well, you have to meet such and such code. You get a plan. You bring the plan to us. We'll sign off on it if everything's good, and then you can start building your wall. So the first thing that we need is a plan. All right, so now let's say, for the sake of argument, we have the financing, we have the plan, everything's stamped and approved, and I know the process is much more laborious than this, as Brother Bill Kellum can attest to. But let's say, for the sake of argument, we have the money, we have the plan, now what do we need? We got building permits, we got plans. Supplies. We got to have material. We're going to build a wall. We got to have something that's going to construct the wall. So let's say, for the sake of argument, we're going to build a wall. And I know these are pavers, but we're going to act like they're bricks for a wall. So we got to have material. So now we got a plan. We have material. We have the raw materials. And now what do we need? Somebody else said it. Builders are people to do the work. Now, I'm glad you said that. You got to have people. I can have a plan, I can have materials, I can have the tools, which is what we're going to address as well, but I also got to have the people. Somebody's got to be willing to do the work. Now, I need somebody to find this verse of scripture. It's found in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. Whoever finds it first can stand up and read it. This is crowd participation. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. Some of y'all are sloppy on your sword drills. She called you out, Sister White. Go ahead. For the people had what? People had a mind to work. Now, think about this. Let's backtrack just a little bit. Nehemiah comes from a far country. I just completely slipped my mind where he came from. Shushan the palace. I don't remember the exact location. He comes to Jerusalem, but he doesn't come to Jerusalem empty-handed. The Bible lets us know that he comes to Jerusalem with letters. We don't want to guess what these letters are for. Bible says that letters are to the governors and the princes of the area. And the letters are to not only describe what Nehemiah is there for and what Nehemiah is going to do, that he has the blessing of the king, but it also to gather materials. Catch this. So Nehemiah comes, and Nehemiah has a plan. Nehemiah has been praying and fasting, and Nehemiah has been talking to God, and Nehemiah has a plan. He wants to construct the walls of Jerusalem. Let me say this from the very get-go. If somebody is going to serve God, and someone is going to live a life that is pleasing unto God, and they're going to build walls and gates in their lives, they are not going to do it just by happenstance. There is a plan. There is a blueprint. We all have it. We read from it, hopefully, on a very frequent basis. The Bible, the Word of God, is God's blueprint for us constructing proper walls and gates in our lives. And so if someone is truly desirous of establishing God's kingdom in their life, in their home, in their family, if they are truly desirous of that, they have to follow the blueprint. They have to look at the plan and say, okay, what does the plan say? Where does a construction start? I can't build the roof without the foundation. And the foundation had better be big enough and deep enough to support the rest of the building. And so in this process and in this plan of building, I need to understand that I've got to find my information in the plan. Now, think about it in the sense of materials. Now, here's where some of you may not agree. But here's what I believe. I believe that God allows us. We are in this world, but not of this world. But as we are in this world and we interact with the world, I believe that God gives us and God allows us to acquire tools, materials, if you will, from outside. You look at and you read it.
they had to go outside. There were certain things that had to be acquired outside the city or the boundary. This is not a license for someone to go outside and just do whatever they want to do and live however they want to live. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in our interaction with the world and with our rubbing shoulders with the world, that God allows us to acquire tools and materials with which to construct walls and gates in our lives. So, we have a plan. We have the Word of God. We understand that we get materials. Most of those materials are found in the Word of God. But now let's talk about the third thing we need. We have the people. They have a mind to work. Which, while we're there, I need two people who have a mind to work. Volunteers? Anybody? Come on, Brother Mike, come on. All right, come on, all three of you. He's going to be union. He's going to stand around and give orders. All right. Are you ready? Okay. We've got some raw materials. I have a plan. And then I'm going to express that plan to you, and then we're going to build. All right? Does that make sense? Okay. The first thing we're going to build is we're going to build a wall. So, now, obviously, we don't have a ton of bricks, and we're not going to take a lot of time, but what do you think the material would be needed to build a wall? Cement? Bricks? All right, you got bricks? Build a wall. Yeah, right there. Just right in front of everybody. Just build a wall. But, Mike, you can hop in anytime, bro. Wait, let's see what Brother Alex has got going on here. You in agreement with his process there? Sort of? It's not straight. All right. Is that wall pretty stable? You need more? Thank you for pointing that out, Brother Alex. Yes, we do need more bricks. I have some at the house if you'd like to go get them. All right. Brother Mike, you see a problem with that wall right off the hand? No, you don't see a problem with it? If you look at a brick wall, is that how a brick wall is constructed? No. Okay. What's one thing that you see? You need to stagger the bricks, okay? So you got to stagger the bricks. Oh, look at that. Why would we stagger the bricks? Support. Why? Because if you have all the lines in the same place, what does that cause? A weakness in the wall, right? Okay, so let's pretend that this is a high wall. Obviously it's not because it's a wall. However, even though they're staggered now, and good job staggering, by the way, is there anything holding them together? I mean, can I just kick that block out? Yeah. Why? All right, cool. This is concrete patch, but it's like cement. There you go. Make that wall sturdy. Oh, so we need something else. Well, what do we need with that in order to build that wall? Ah, a little bit of water. Well, that's good because I got some water. Now, think about this, guys. We're realizing in order to build this wall, and obviously it would be a wall for G.I. Joe men, but in order to build this wall and to make it sturdy, we got to add some more things. It's not just the bricks. The bricks alone, they may form a barrier, but they don't really form a wall. It's not going to be much of a defense unless we somehow tie those bricks together. We somehow give that wall some rigidity, some strength and support. And so they said, well, we need mortar. Well, we just grab mortar, but if they just dump that dry mortar on those blocks, is it going to help? Not really. Maybe over time, as rain happened, maybe it would set up, but it probably wouldn't look pretty. So we have water. Now, water in itself, is it strong? If I just pour the water over the brick, is that going to do anything? No. But if we... Y'all thought I was playing. We building the wall. I ain't playing with you. Oh, wait. You're supposed to be building. What you watching me for? Come on, let's mix up some mortar. Chop, chop. Well, I got a drop cloth there. I hope you can, you know, just mix it up a little bit. All right, that's probably enough. Which is illustration purposes only. All right. How much water? Wait, hey, how do you know how much water? It does help to read the directions, folks. And let's face it, 3 men up here reading directions is not our forte. I get that. Amen. Can I get a witness? All right. For the sake, just pour the water. I was just stopping you to make a point, so I'm just, you can continue. All right. You need something to stir it up. Another tool. A little bit more. All right. It's one of the times you wish you had a little video camera where you could, you know, and then show it up on the screen where you guys could see what's going on. Yeah? Probably gonna need a little bit more mortar. Pretty soupy. I've said this before, I'll say it again while they're mixing up the mortar. Jacob's blessing his sons in the Bible, and I believe it's Reuben that he looks at, and he makes the statement. He says, "You're unstable as water." I say this all the time, and it's something that I truly believe in. I was in youth ministry for many, many years, and they're upstairs, so I won't say it very loud. But youth a lot of times are very unstable. Okay? Now, not only hormonally, which is proven, there's a lot of questions in their mind. There's a lot of variance in their heart and what they're attached to, and all those things happen. And I say this many times: as long as I believe youth ministry is like this, and really it goes along with any type of ministry. We let's just face it. I mean, we can blame it on the youth, but we are too. Well, there's a lot of instability in our lives. And when we pour in the good things of God, the ingredients, much like the mortar, and then we define some borders, we put some things in place that says, okay, this is only, it goes this far, it stops here, we are, in a sense, creating a foundation. We are, in a sense, creating something that can be built. We are building something for the kingdom of God. How you doing? Oh, now we need more water. You got too much mortar that time, huh? Man, it's sure a lot easier when you have like one of them paddle mixers, isn't it? Yeah? I have one of those. But yeah, I just didn't bring it. I have no shortage of tools, trust me. I love tools. All right, for the... If I had to do it, I'd have my paddle mixer. All right, here you are. To the best of your ability, got you a little... spade trowel there, so let's form that wall up a little bit. Brother Alex is ready with the water. Still a little dry. It's all right. Put it down there. Just slap a brick on there. We're illustrative purposes only. Thank God for drop cloths. Sister Grimm, that paver thing you want at the new home, these guys probably not. All righty. Well, should we have the time and the appropriate tools, obviously, building the wall, adding the mortar, adding the water. And see, that's the amazing thing about the things. Thank you. You guys can have a seat because I'm going to use you in just a minute. Again. To me, that's the amazing thing about the Word of God, is it takes mixing things together. It takes ingredients, much like when we talked about all things work together for good, and we talked about all the different ingredients that are mixed together to make a cake, much like that in the same sense of construction. We have a plan, and then we have the materials, and we have to have the tools. If we had better tools, it'd go a lot faster, wouldn't it? If we had a spade mixer, and we had a line already out there and something level, that building the wall would happen a lot faster. People that are in that trade, they know that. When they have the plan, they have the specialized tools for that particular trade. Now, let's think about it in another sense. Okay, now I want, that's a wall. Well, it's kind of a wall. It's a valiant attempt at a wall, I might say. Now I want a doorway. You ready? Got some lumber, got a hammer, got some nails. Ah, thank you, Brother Mike. Say that again. How tall and how wide? Brother Alex is ready to jump right in. He wants a foundation. There's a plan, right? How tall? Well, I want it 72 inches high and 30 inches wide. I need done in like 5 minutes. You know what? It's close enough. I even brought a saw, but I'm like, no, I ain't making them cut. That's close enough too. Now I want it to stand up so it can be like a doorway, like a gate, so people can see it. So just keep that in mind. I have a plan. Yeah, here, I'll help you. That's pretty good. All right. But Mike's hard at work. Alex is watching. You could hold that for him if you wanted to. All right, it's coming together. Right? Break time?
Look at that.
All right. Pretty good. Well, let's add a couple feet on the bottom. One over there, and that way it'll stand up by itself. You can hold it if you want. I'll hold this side. Got it? You want me to put my foot against it? Watch and learn. Watch and learn. See, foot against it. Oh, I'm just kidding. All right, that'll work for that side for right now. Not the best doorway I've ever seen, but it'll work in a pinch. You want a hammer, Alex? Yeah? I did. Please don't hit your finger. Baby taps, man. Baby taps. Works every time. Yeah! He's almost got it. Let's give him a hand. It's almost there. Sparks are flying. Okay, that's good. That's good. All right, let's see if I'll stand by itself. Honestly, brother, I don't know if you can wear that shirt and hit like that, though. All right, so we have a gate constructed, right? They use tools, use a hammer, they use a nail. We have a kind of a wall constructed and kind of a gate constructed, illustrative purposes only. Now, what did you find out about building that gate? It's not squared, okay. But what did you find out about what you personally? What did you find out happened while you were building that gate? I give you a hint. It's on your forehead. You had to think? And you had to sweat? Alex didn't have to sweat at all, but Brother Mike did. You had to work. The thing just doesn't construct itself. You don't say abracadabra and a doorway appears or a gate. There takes some effort. The Bible says the people had a mind to work. Now, one more passage of Scripture. Okay, you guys can take a seat for right now. Here's the next passage of Scripture I want to read. It's in Nehemiah 4:17. Nehemiah 4:17. Whoever gets it first can stand up and read it. Bible says that as they built this wall, as they put it together, there were some that had burdens and there were others that were working in construction. They were working together to build this wall. And the Bible says that they had in one hand a weapon and in the other hand they had the tool. Remember we talked about in the gates there being a period of time, the horse gate, talking about warfare, talking about... Here's the thing. When we are truly constructing walls and gates in our lives... Now, it's going to be a shocker. Bible says they had one hand in the work. They had one hand on a weapon. Folks, the reality is choosing to build walls, choosing to construct gates in our lives, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time. And the reality is when we truly want to construct proper walls and gates in our lives, we don't have much time for other things in life. Ooh. As I say, we don't have any fun, we don't have any joy. No. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. Even in the fun and even in the downtime, if you will, there's also the understanding that I'm still in the process of constructing. Even when I'm on vacation, I am still constructing the image of a good father in the eyes of my children. Catch it? Even when I'm away from here, even when I'm just relaxing, even when I'm hanging out with the guys, I am still building the image of what it means to be a Christian. Because here's one thing that you got to get. Here's one thing that if you don't get anything else, and we're coming to a conclusion, but if you don't get anything else, I want you to get this point. Brother Mike, Brother Alex, tear down the gate. I want all the pieces apart. I want it completely back to how you started. We can tell which one nailed which, can't we? Give him a hand. I I won't make you pound the nails back through. That's all good. Now, thank you. You can go back to your respective places. Couple points. First is, it's a lot easier to tear down than it is to build up. It's a lot easier to tear down. I've been in construction a long time. I can demolish a bathroom a lot quicker than I can remodel it and build it. Here's another point. The same tool used to build it is the same tool that was used to destroy it. Time is a tool that God has given me. And that time can be used to construct walls and gates in my life, or that time can be used to destroy walls and gates in my lives. Here's the thing. God has equipped us. God has given us the power. God has given us the plan. God has given us the tools. God has given us resources. But the building is up to us. Whether we build proper walls and proper gates in our lives, or whether we don't. How we define where those walls are and where those gates are can't be based upon my own interpretation. It can't be based upon my own feelings. It's got to be based upon what the Word of God says, because it's the plan. No foundation can any man lay that is laid. That is Christ Jesus. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the one. He's the level. He's the tape measure. He's the one by which we make sure the plan is according to specs, till we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. We're pressing toward the mark. Our whole life is spent constructing walls and gates in the kingdom of God. Why? Because over time, things happen. The enemy tries to see. We all experience these things in life, and we must understand that building, constructing walls and gates in our life takes these things, but it is so much easier to tear them down than it is to build them up. And the same tool. That's why the Bible says that there's power of life and death in the tongue. The same tool can have two absolutely opposite outcomes. What am I building with my words? What am I constructing with my behavior? What is my conversation? And that word conversation in the Bible means my behavior, my lifestyle. What am I constructing in my home? Let me just be real. If my kids only saw Daddy pray, or only saw Daddy read his Bible once in a blue moon, but they saw me doing all kinds of other stuff all the time, what kind of image am I constructing in their lives? What am I building for them to show that the Word of God, the things of God, mean the most to me? We did this study, and I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Samuel comes to Saul at one point when Saul does something he shouldn't have done. Samuel makes a statement. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Saul, you may not understand why God made this provision, or why God said do it this way. Though you don't understand, though you think that you have your own way, you need to understand, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I may not understand the wall yet, but if I will read the Word of God, and I'll put my time and effort into understanding why this is in the blueprint, why is it there? Every jot, everything, it's there for a reason. Even the Old Testament, it's there for a reason. And the more I look into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible says, and continue therein, being a doer of the word, guess what? I'm blessed. And the walls and the gates that I am building in my life, I'm building in accordance with the Word of God. And the last thing I want to do is to take those same tools that God has equipped me with and empowered me to build and construct walls and gates in my life and let other people see me as I systematically tear them down. Lord Jesus, we love you. And I know it's been different, Lord. I know that what we've done here in the sense of teaching is, God, it's somewhat strange maybe, but I hope that in their heart and their mind they would understand, Lord, that these simple illustrations and object lessons would present in their heart and mind the need, the understanding. Lord, it is important not only that we build them, but how we build them and the time we take and all the resources that you have given unto us to construct walls and gates in our lives, God, and that there is a reason and there is a purpose, Lord, and to take those tools that you have given us, Lord, we could use them for many different things, the talents, the treasures, those things that you have bestowed upon us and blessed us with, and Lord, we could use them for many different things, but let us understand the importance of using them to define your kingdom, to build walls and gates in our lives, God, by which others will know what we treasure and what we hold dear to ourselves. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. Why don't you give Brother Mike Duell and Brother Alex Atkins a hand. Thank you for letting me pick on you. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord.